Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and I'm so pumped for this one. We're going to go on a journey with Cultivate Advisors. Hey, and if you are a business owner, when you first started your business, you had big aspirations and goals. But if you're like me, the reality is growing a business is hard. With nonstop opportunity, it's easy to lose focus. That's why I call myself the Tasmanian Devin, on the areas that work as levers in your business. If you're stuck in the business and aren't sure what needs to change, you're not alone. Well, there's no universal guide of being a successful entrepreneur. The key to growing your business starts with understanding where you are on your entrepreneurial journey. I'm so pumped to have leaders from Cultivate Advisors joining us today and some upcoming episodes. Cultivate Advisors is a national advisory firm that works with thousands of small business owners all over the country. Over the years, they have identified five key stages of the entrepreneurial journey, including unique pitfalls, challenges, and opportunities that plague business owners along the way. I'm so stoked to tell the AOC tribe that we're doing an entire deep dive series on Cultivate Advisors' entrepreneurial journey and how they're working with businesses from all over the construction industry to understand this journey and how to best navigate it. This amazing company has helped countless entrepreneurs rise up, bring themselves to their business to new levels of growth that they wouldn't have never thought possible. Now with Team Art of Construction, they're going to do the same for you. This series is going to feature personal stories from owners in your same positions who have fought through the challenges we're all facing in this industry. And with the help of Cultivate, came out the other end a better entrepreneur and owner. But before we meet those owners, this episode will be about meeting the team behind Cultivate Advisors and finding out more about their story and what they do, starting with getting to know my longtime friend, Jamie Rowe. Let's do this, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic. Here we go. Lock and load. We're going to have some fun today with Jamie Rowe. What's your favorite place you've traveled?
Antigua, which is in the Caribbean. Gorgeous.
Oh, tell us one story from that trip.
Okay, so I was snorkeling and I saw an octopus actually eating a conch out of a conch shell. I mean, come on.
There you go. And I'm assuming it was with your wonderful family that I've got to know as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, my daughter and I we both saw it at the same time. It was amazing.
Awesome. Way back at the beginning, we actually had one of my first episodes was with Matt Rowe, your husband, on the Art of Construction all the way back at the beginning. So this has been a long time coming here as we're closing in on episode 200. But what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena we passionately call the art of construction?
Yeah, I was thinking, I am a very big meditator. I spend 45 minutes to an hour every morning in meditation and also something called forest bathing. We can talk a little bit more about that later. Yeah, exactly. So no,
you lost me.
Not what you think. It's big in Japan. It's big in Japan. It's actually just walking out in nature for an hour or two. I do it every single weekend and it's just refreshing, re-energizing. It's fantastic.
So that's a technique. I've never heard that word before, but pretty much almost every other episode, it's mountain biking, outside activities.
You haven't had me on for a while, Devin.
Yeah, well, you've stepped up your game, and I've heard there's a lot of stuff we're going to get to talk about in this upcoming podcast to where it actually goes. I want to go all the way back to the beginning and introduce you to the Art of Construction tribe to say, go back to the beginning. You can look at the podcast, but don't spend a lot of time on that because we are looking through the windshield on this baby. And this thing is going to be awesome because back in 2012, I bought a little window and door company and I was stuck. I was like, man, I was ready to go, but I needed help. And through some different industry mentors, and that's kind of what I think this journey we're going to go on together is bring different people into the art of construction to say, how can we help? And I was told, you got to meet Jamie Rowe and see where she can help. So you came in and said, well, let me meet with your team and just kind of see where you're at. Because you're like, I don't know what's going on with them. It's like they did. And came back after me and said, look me in the eye. And you said, Devin, your system is, go ask Devin. Well, that's not a very good system if you really think about that. So that was the start of our relationship and the journey of building a system to not go ask Devin for everything. So fast forward to 2020, and I'm so honored, Jamie, to have you back here and take the mic and helping us lead on this journey to talk through your story, which led you to Cultivate Advisors. So let's start off by saying, what is your quick journey before Cultivate? And then we're going to get into that.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you, Devin. And I think too, just first and foremost is you're an amazing business leader. You always have been since originally when I met you, when you're first starting out this company, and look where you are today. Just if someone could just gleam some of the things that you've done and some takeaways, it's incredible. So excited to be here. So originally when I met you, let's just say this, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've had 5 businesses, 4 of them I've started, 1 I bought and sold. And I love entrepreneurship, the passion, the drive, the roller coaster. I've had incredible moments of success. We've all been there as entrepreneurs. You're like, yes, I closed the biggest deal ever. This is amazing. And then the next day you're like, oh my gosh, I'm on a roller coaster just going straight down. So we have our epic failures, but every time we have one, we learn something and then move forward. So I love, you know, Michael Jordan, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And entrepreneurs, it's all about trial and error. So I've definitely been there on the forefront time and time again. So my last company, I actually started doing some coaching and I found out, wow, I really like coaching. I like this coaching thing. So I met with an advisor through Cultivate Advisors. His name is Patrick. He's in the Denver office. And I felt like, okay, this is it. This is the time to give back. I felt like this was home. And so kind of from there, the rest is history. But really everything kind of truly started right with you, with Devin.
Awesome. So the stage is set. So Jamie and I met each other before Cultivate. And so tell me about what is Cultivate Advisors and what do you do?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So I like to break it down and say Cultivate Advisors is we help give business owners clarity in their business so they can make great decisions. We're advisors. You don't always hear that term. It's a combination of a consultant and a coach. Coach is soundboarding and connecting and guiding people in the right direction. Consultants are going to roll up their sleeves and help you in the business. Like, for example, I help a lot of people with their finances, cash flow projections, especially when we start talking in a few minutes here, the 5 different stages of entrepreneurship. Finances, that's the engine, baby. Like, we need to know what's going on with our money. What's going to happen? Because things can happen throughout business, as we've seen in 2020. So it's such a great opportunity. We help you build and scale your business so that you can have the life that you want. Because I can't tell you how many business owners I've run into, and they're like, I'm burnt out, I'm done. And I say, what are you doing in your business? Well, I'm putting QuickBooks transactions in. I'm like, do you even like doing that? Well, no, but I need to do it. Do you? So what I do when I meet with business owners, I find out, where is your genius zone? Let's connect in with that. Let's find out what you're really good at, and let's hire out or automate everything else. So we help people, especially business owners, to really re-engage with why they fell in love with their business in the first place. And let's help grow it the way that you want it to be grown so that you can also create the life that you want. Now, Cultivate in and of itself, we have worked with so many businesses in the trade industry. A little bit later, we have a very special guest with us I'm excited to introduce in just a moment here, has incredible experience with the trades. Our clients, if they've been with us for 12 months or over, they've seen a 65% increase in their revenue. In addition to that, 108% increase in profit, because as we all know, revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. So there's so many great opportunities. And you know what? I really want to introduce Casey. Casey Clark is one of the creators of Cultivate Advisors. It is an honor to have him with us. He's a very busy gentleman, and I'm excited that he's here with us today. He has scaled this business starting from the ground up, and really he's going to share with us today some of the five stages of entrepreneurship, and then walk us through what he went through and his background. So Casey, thank you so much for being with us today. We would love to hear a little bit about you, and then we're going to roll right into these five stages of entrepreneurship.
Absolutely, Jamie and Devin, thanks for having me here. Great to be on the Art of Construction. I've got an interesting background. You know, when I was in college, I decided to take my hand at starting my own business. Started my own franchise in the painting industry. Started running that business. Did fairly well. Actually took that to then start leading franchise owners and started scaling across the Midwest of the U.S. here to start building out more and more franchises. By the end of it, I actually became a partner of the firm and was leading the general managers who are leading these franchise owners who are leading their painters. So I had this really unique experience of being able to be the business owner to, you know, supporting the I'll call it the corporation that was leading the business owners, and then actually becoming a part of that corporation and being an owner of that business. So you can imagine with that background, I got to see a lot of successes and a lot of failures. So started there, and then about 6 years ago, we started Cultivate Advisors with somebody actually I had met. His name is Dan Grauman, the other co-founder of Cultivate Advisors. And him and I were complete opposites, and we were competing all the time throughout our years. It made sense that we came together, you know, kind of became friends and said, let's start this business. We're going to take what we learned on how to scale these painting businesses and take it to so many other trade industries, as well as other industries outside the trades, to help teach small businesses how to grow and scale. So in short, that's been my background for the last decade or so.
Awesome. Thank you, Casey. And yeah. Casey, what's exciting is we're going to have you walk us through the five stages of entrepreneurship. I'm just going to share with what they are. First off, and everyone here, I think, and the listeners, you'll feel one of these is really going to resonate with you. So let's start with the hustler. The hustler, this is so you're working on your own, really focusing on your sales and productivity. The next stage is going to be an experimenter. Maybe you've brought on one employee and trying different things out with profitability. The next is a visionary. The visionary, you have got about 5+ employees. They're helping you push that vision forward for you. The systemizer, after that, you've got a leadership team in place. They're helping you push this flywheel up the hill. And the very last stage is going to be influencer. You're out of the day-to-day activities. You're influencing, building that culture in your business, in addition to working, influencing the industry in and of itself. So what Casey's going to do today, he's going to walk us through each of these stages, how it connects in with Cultivate, how they've gone through the stages, common problems at the stages, skills, things to focus on. That. So listen definitely when you're like, okay, I'm an experimenter. Listen to that when Casey starts talking about it. What skills do I need to focus on now? And then what are the biggest opportunities in front of you? So we're going to kind of roll right into that. So Casey, let's start with the hustler.
Sure.
So do you remember when you started Cultivate?
Do I remember when I started Cultivate?
Yeah.
When it was Dan and I, and we were charging about a fifth as much as we charge now, running around together in every meeting, completely unproductive. And it was the two of us, you know, thinking, yeah, we're going to take over the world by helping every small business, just the two of us, till we realized that there's this thing called time. And then we realized very quickly that was not a good game plan, and we adopted pretty quickly.
Awesome. That's great. Well, let's dive into the hustler stage and sure. All the different components, because there's a lot of people out there listening. I'm sure they're driving around in their car, listening to this podcast. They're like, it's me. I'm out about ready to do a quote. And then when I go home, you know, I'm also going to be executing on the work. So they're doing everything. So let's start here.
Yeah. And I think when you break down these five stages, Jamie, it's the simplest way to understand. How do you know which stage you're in? It's actually just by how many layers of are you have in the org chart? How many layers do you have in that org chart? When does that leadership shift? That usually is a sign you're into a new stage. So the hustler is simple. This is, you're a solopreneur. You are managing all aspects of the business. You may have a part-time contractor. You may have, you know, a virtual assistant or something you figured out how to use. But otherwise, it is all on you. No full-time employees at that point. That's how you know if you're a hustler. And it's termed hustler for one reason. The only way out of this stage is you've got to out-hustle. And I'm sure everybody can remember when they first started the business, or if you're in this stage right now, that hustle it took to get out of it, or if you're still in it, the hustle you're feeling constantly, the business is probably running you versus you running the business. That's a normal feeling to have during this stage of the hustler.
Sure. And you know, what's interesting, especially with the hustler is, and you and I have both worked with multiple hustlers, and it's sometimes they, you know, they're doing so much in the business. And then when we run cash flow, we realize they have money to hire someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes they need those fresh eyes, like, hey, let's just look at cash. Guess what? You can hire someone to help you. Let's take some things off your plate. So that's a great way to get out of that hustler phase.
Absolutely.
Hire someone, get things off your plate.
But I think one of the main, like one of the major pain points that a lot of hustlers have is it's still that decision of, is this a hobby? Am I going to actually be able to pay all my bills? Is this what I want to do? So many people, you know, jump into their business excited to take over an industry or excited to go achieve something they thought they could do better than somebody prior to them. That's usually the reason actually why most go into business for themselves. And they realize it comes with so much more. So I think one of the first pain points you've got to overcome is that feeling of, you know, you have to go all in and you have to persevere yourself through the self-doubt. I think we all have those moments of self-doubt, and everybody probably can think back to that moment. I remember mine, but that moment when you just know, I'm going to go all in, I'm for sure going to do this. So I'm sure people have those moments.
Burn the boats, baby.
You want right? me to?
Burn the boats. So, exactly. So a story. Share with me some story in terms of like maybe when you first started out. I'm sure listeners, you know, there's so many roller coaster moments in this phase.
Sure.
So what was one for you?
Well, I mean, I'll just go back to the first moment I remember having doubt and just going, am I actually going to be an entrepreneur? You know, as I mentioned, this was a painting franchise. It was my first business outside of, you know, paper routes or mowing lawns when I was younger. And here I am, and I'm, it's in the springtime. It's on the weekends. I am grinding so many hours. I haven't landed a single project yet. I've done tons of quotes, but what's coming, right? I've got rent due. I've got to pay for all the marketing collateral, all that direct mail I've purchased. The invoice is due in 30 days. I'm taking this huge risk trying to get this painting business off the ground. I'm all on my own, and I've just got estimate after estimate lined up over the weekend. And so I'm thinking, this is it. I finally have marketing going well. I'm going to start to close. I've got to get deposit checks in order to pay the bills. I was feeling amazing at the top of the curve at the beginning of the weekend. Get through Saturday, 5 estimates deep, no contract landed. Go through Sunday, halfway through. I don't know why. I remember sitting in an Arby's of all things, and I remember just like depressed out of my mind. I still haven't landed a contract. I've got 2 quotes left. I go on the next 2 quotes. First one, nah, not going to happen. Get to the second. It's just this sweet, sweet older woman. I'm like, I got to get this. I don't have money. I'm going to fail. You know, everything in my brain is rushing through my mind. The amount of anxiety that's taking me over. I've got to go tell my parents I'm a failure. I'm studying entrepreneurship at school. Like, what am I doing? I'm not qualified to be doing this. Every bad thought's going through my brain. I'm sure people can relate to these moments. And here I am. I deliver the pitch, and she just politely says, hey, Casey, this looks good, but I need to check with my husband. You know, we're going to take a few weeks to think about it. I don't know why, but the emotion came over me at a complete level, and I literally just had tears start running down my face. I just start bawling in front of this gal. The most unprofessional thing to do. I still to this day don't know what came over me, but what it was is I cared so much about the business that it just hit me, and I really thought I was going to fail. I really thought there's no way I'm going to get out of this. And what came out of it was she looked at me and said, why are you crying? I told her, you know, went on and on about the whole weekend, how I hadn't landed a contract, how, you know, this is my dream to be an entrepreneur. I want to build this business. By the end of it, in short, she came back and said, you know what? Here's 50%. You only asked me for 15. Here's 50% of the contract. We're going to let you paint our house. We probably would have anyway, but you know, stop crying. You're going to be successful. Go pay your rent. Cause I shared way too much with her. Get this. She even walked me across the street to her neighbor, introduced me. I got that estimate the following weekend and also booked it. I'll never forget driving home thinking I was rich out of my mind, which I wasn't, rich out of my mind, going to run this killer business. And therefore, I mean, I went and built a 5 million plus painting business over the next few years. So it was that moment that just gave me that insane confidence. And I'm sure everybody, if you're an entrepreneur, is going, I remember that moment. I remember when I went all in.
So there's a taste, Art of Construction Tribe. We got 6 episodes of stories like this, of hustling and making it happen. Casey, thanks for teeing that up and telling us that story.
Yeah. Hey, we all have that moment. And my goal is to not cry in front of customers anymore, and I've gotten pretty good at it. So that's the good news.
I've cried at a couple podcasts at the Art of Construction Tribe. People are like, that was really good. And I'm like, yeah, I would just pull it together. But when you care so much about something, it is what it is, you know?
Well, I call it my hot chocolate story because she gave me some of the best hot chocolate I've ever had. So everybody go find your hot chocolate story, and that'll reinvigorate your passion towards your vision of why you're doing this.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Casey. That's a memorable story. And I'm sure everyone's out there had some type of story where they have cried in front of someone, certainly, or wanted to cry, or cried in your truck on the way home, whatever the case. You've been there. So awesome. Let's move to stage 2. So that's the experimenter. So walk us through this one.
Yeah. And let's make sure we can connect hustler to experimenter, right? To get to experimenter, this is when you start to hire those first initial few employees, meaning it's not just you. So in the hustler stage, you're going to out hustle. You're going to have to really drive sales. So make sure you're getting results. You're not just moving. So many hustlers are working, but they're working on the wrong thing. So you should be focused on the result side of bringing in revenue. That's going to bring the money in because you need to quickly multiply yourself. In the experimenter stage, that's what this is about. It's about you learning how to lead those first few people in the business, how to assign the roles, how to assign the comp. Think of experimenter as I'm testing, I'm experimenting. You should be hiring different types of people. Even that, your product or service, you're going to experiment. You're going to find yourself saying yes a lot to as many things as you can because you want to know all the different things your customers are interested in regards to your product or service. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're in a design firm, do you do large houses or do you do commercial? Doesn't matter if you're, you know, maybe on the contractor side or general contracting. There's always niches you can go into. So don't be afraid to say yes in this stage and try a lot because the goal is to experiment and figure out what you're the best at and the type of people you work the best with because you're going to need to know that information in order to scale through the future stages.
Sure, absolutely. And also what I've seen too is that when you're trying all these new things, like you said, experiment with different types of services or products in your business and find out what's most profitable. Sitting down and actually doing the analysis and finding out what's profitable. And again, things you like doing, things you're good at, and the people are most important for sure.
Well, the people is the hardest part because most people, when they get to this stage, you try to just hire people that are, you know, maybe like you, but a lot of times too, you just hire anybody. I know a lot of people have fallen for that trap. And what I find really interesting is that when you are hiring in this stage, you actually have to hire other entrepreneurs. You have to go convince other entrepreneurs to work with you in this stage because you need them to be generalists, not specialists. They're going to hold so many hats in during this stage. That's the common pitfall I see most owners screwing up. They go hire these specialists and try to treat it like it's a corporate, you know, big company. It's like, you want to set the expectation to say, no, absolutely not. I need you raw. I need you willing to do anything. If you want a job description, I wouldn't work here. That's not the type of role you're signing up for when you work for this small of a company. And I find just being bold and being confident in that is super crucial. Can I share one other pain point that I see happen during this stage? I think it'd just be super helpful. You know, you talked about the failing and missing all those shots in your Michael Jordan quote. I have a different way of looking at it. I agree with what you're sharing, but it's just another paradigm, kind of a lens to look through. If you think about this, so many other people have ran the business you're running before. I'll give it to you. You know, if you're Elon Musk and you create SpaceX, fine. You're on a new frontier, literally. But most of the time when we're building businesses, the business has already existed. There's a really important term here. It's called R&D. It's not research and development. It's rob and duplicate. This has already been done before. Go find the systems. Go find the processes. Bring them in and understand you're going to fail 10 times to find the solution. Then once you find it, keep redoing it. And that's why I call, you know, failing, I have a cool, fun acronym, F stands for first, A is attempt, I is in, and L is learning. So first, attempt, and learning is actually all failing actually is. You've got to go through that process again, embrace experimenting, be vulnerable, open up that introspective gene and go, this is my time to learn to get it right, because then I'm going to take all the right ways of doing things and figure out how to scale. And this is also why you can't jump over this stage. Too many people try to implement capital in their business or try to just hire too fast and jump past this, and they don't learn the right ways to do everything that then allow them to get the scale. So anyway, I could go on and on about this stage. I love this stage. But those are the initial ones.
No, I love that. And I love your passion for this too. So how do they get out of the experimenter? Let's roll into visionary.
Yeah, well, use creative compensation with your people. Like, that's really important, because that's going to open up the cash, allowing you to go hire more people. So what I mean by that is put people on more as you possibly can on commissions earlier on. Make them a variable cost versus fixed cost. So that way, if you can in your business, and then allow yourself to move to where you open up the dollars. So don't take a lot of cash. If you want to scale past the experimenter stage and you want to start to hire 5+, 10+, 15+ people, that's how you're going. That's the visionary stage. That means you're now starting to lead from the place of, here's the business I'm building. Get on the wagon. We're going to go. So what happens is you're now starting to hire enough people that you move yourself away from the front lines. Whatever that end product or service is, you're no longer attached to that. You're starting to pull back and you're actually running the business, which is what really generates the visionary. You're starting to work on the business versus in the business. And what that means is that you have to have a compelling vision to get everyone else to follow along in terms of your mission or the directive you have towards what you want your company to be like. So the visionary stage is starting to hire folks for those front lines. You're probably still leading them all, but your intent is to start scaling an organization. And that's why they're jumping on board, to where you're now trying to figure out the best talent you can hire and how to structure the growth. You're not worried about the end product or service.
Sure. So even more so, that leadership, recruiting, getting the right people on the bus. I know I've said that, and Devin, you and I have talked about this so many times over, getting the right people on the bus, because they need you physically, time-wise, Casey, which you know, you don't have time to do it anymore. You have to then motivate people, share the vision, have that common language, so they go do it for you.
I mean, dead on. And what you'll find, though, again, I love sharing these pain points, because this is something we've just seen over the thousands of businesses we've led in our portfolio. Here's a fun phrase to look at. Every business, every single entrepreneur has at least one ugly baby. Okay? There is one ugly baby.
We're talking about ugly babies now?
Yes, ugly babies. Every business has at least one ugly baby.
Tell me more.
They have that thing. It's your baby. It's something you're super passionate about. It makes no money. You found it during the experimenter phase. You kept it through the scale. And now you've got all these people trying to implement your ugly baby and your core services. And you just got to cut it. It's just a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. I know the last stage I talked about saying yes. This stage is actually about saying no. It's about going, no, we're going to scale on the easiest, simplest thing possible. We can always bring that ugly baby back later. But too often, we just want to embrace that ugly baby. But it's ugly. Call it ugly and move on. And I'm sure some of you need to hear this today to know and tell yourself, this is such a waste of my energy. Go where I can scale.
Okay, everyone listening right now, it's okay if you have an ugly baby.
That's right.
We all have ugly babies.
I got to get a better analogy for that, but yes.
I know, because we don't want to say kill the ugly baby. That's going to be taken out of context in some
that's
form.
Right. But, that's right. But niching in, right? You got to niche in at this point. If you want to scale as a visionary, you've got to niche in, and otherwise you'll get caught trying to hold too many balls and juggling, and that's what will hold you back from continuing to grow.
Yeah, I hear you. You got to experiment and learn, but then the riches are in the niches, right?
Yeah, exactly. Devin, exactly. That's a much better phrase than kill your ugly baby.
Thank you, Devin. Okay, awesome. All right. So we are moving past visionary. And how is that visionary then? Okay, I've got this team of people. I want to get into systemizer, which is stage 4. Walk us through how that happens.
Well, first off, so you've got to have a decent amount of cash to jump from the visionary to systemizer. So either you're going to stay in that stage and build up a lot of profits, take less earnings, or you're probably, this is generally when we start to see people start to take on business partners, go get institutional lending. This is really important to share, because this is the most poorest point of the business. I find most hustlers make more money than the entrepreneurs that go into this next stage. And this is why 98% of businesses don't get passed into this next stage. That's a true generic stat, but about 90% of folks do not get in to that next stage. And it's because it's so expensive. And here's why. The systemizer is when you're deciding to start to bring in executives. I'm not talking about, you know, managers that are managing the front line necessarily. I'm actually talking about truly bringing in C-suite executives that will start to run parts of your business that you are actually giving up control as the owner to let them run the business and allow them to build systems that create the guardrails and help streamline the growth of the company as more and more people come into the organization to help you scale or you service more customers. So this is that stage of giving up control and giving it to the executives and slowly identifying those executives either by promoting from within or hiring from the outside. It is challenging. You're uncomfortable as an owner because you are in a position now where you don't get to call the shots necessarily. You have to train and spend all your time developing, hoping to God they stick around because they're really high ticket price. It's all overhead. That's why it's so expensive. You're literally taking a business where you have a certain level of profit and you have to go spend several hundred thousand dollars for these executives. And it is all literal cost to the bottom line that just sinks your profit. You have to play for a much bigger game. Otherwise, do not go to this stage. I just want to make sure I put out that warning.
Sure. And you talked something about guardrails. Can you share with the listeners what that means?
Yeah. A lot of people say, I want to put systems in my business. And our philosophy at Cultivate is actually don't put a lot of systems into your business early on. The business is going to change and evolve so quickly. Instead, just have simple processes that everybody agrees to follow. A system is actually a guardrail. It's literally use technology, use things where you can't break the system. Think of it as a highway. You're going down the highway, and when you go on those big turns, you notice how almost every highway with the turns, they've got guardrails along. They don't want your car flying off. That's how you have to think about your business when you scale it. At this level, you're going fast enough. You can't be in all the details. You have to build guardrails in the different departments so that your employees or your customers can't fly off the highway.
Sure, especially if you're not in the day-to-day.
Well, you can't be in the day-to-day anymore. You are giving up control. That's the whole point, is transferring the skill and transferring control over to your executives. That is the epitome of the systemizer stage.
Okay, so we're in the systemizer. So they've built out their leadership team. They've got their guardrails in place. What's next? What else do they need? Yeah, go ahead.
What do they need in sort of essentially to get to the influencer stage, right?
Yeah. So what would be next? Anything else they need to do to move to the very last stage, which is stage 5, the influencer?
Well, and this is why it's so important to understand these stages. So often, you know, you heard me say as the experimenter, it's time to say yes to a lot of things. As a visionary, then you start to say no and niche in. Well, I also mentioned back in the experimenter, you want to hire a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of generalists. Well, it's also really important you actually start to potentially hire a lot of specialists, depending on your business. This is where you start to have specialists in roles because you're at scale. And that's really important because that's what sets you up for the influencer role. The influencer stage, let me explain what it is and I'll explain how they connect. The influencer stage is where you now have a fully built leadership team. And I want you to think of it this way. You are no longer running the business. That is actually what influencer means. You are now influencing. Not running, you are influencing the business. Your job is now to coach and influence your executives on the vision and help them identify the goals that are vital, but allow them to choose the task and the path that they take in pursuit of those goals. That is really hard to do. That's really hard to do for any entrepreneur because you are now moving from the inside of your business to the outside of your business. And it can feel, it can just feel like you've lost something or that you've lost your purpose or that you don't need you, but you really, it's an accomplishment, right? This is why the phrase of successful entrepreneurs say it's lonely at the top. The business will run without you. I'll take it for me. I mean, I'm no longer invited to the socials, right? The socials of our team, I don't get invited to those anymore.
Stephanie, Casey.
Thank you. That's okay. But that's part of growing a business is getting to that level. And so getting from visionary to influencer, you have to develop and go all in to skill up your executives. Don't just hire and assume they're just as good as you or they know as much as you. and you want to develop them and give them the level of attention that will actually make them better than you in that specialty area of that, you know, depending on what department they're in charge of. That's ultimately what will make them drive faster than you. And then you become the influencer focused on how do you grow and scale the business through acquisition? How do you influence the industry to get more, you know, prominent marketing and market share? That's not what you're working on. You're not involved in the day-to-day at all. You don't even know really what's happening. You're just looking at macro goals.
You know, I can imagine some people, excuse me, some people listening today thinking, oh, I want to be there. I want to be out of the day-to-day. But and I've met a few people who are experimenters who are ready to jump to the influencer. They're like, I want to be out of the day-to-day. I just want to go on vacation. Someone else can do all this. And have you ever seen where someone thinks they're an influencer but kind of skipped visionary and systemizer? What does that look like?
Oh, that's just called over-delegation. That usually ends up in a massive blow-up. That's generally what it turns into. And you'll know if you're that person, because you may be like, oh, I should have never hired that person. Or you'll start saying things like that. Or I trusted that person with my business. Like, no, what happened is you put somebody in charge and you bailed. And you didn't slow down in those stages to build it the right way so it'd be sustainable by the time you got there. I mean, I think the hardest part about this stage too that connects to what you're sharing is this is no longer a sailboat. You no longer have this sailboat that you can quickly throw the line and shift the direction with wind. You're now in this big ship. And if you've been on a ship, right, you're sitting there turning it, turning it, and turning it, and you got to hold that thing for 4 or 5 minutes to turn the boat. And that's what you start to understand is the difference. And so if you don't really harness those leadership skills, make sure the financials are in play and that you have the right engine coming in to support that overhead of those executives, and then you don't skill up those executives and you skip that in those two stages, when you get to influencer, this thing will fall apart overnight. If a pandemic hits you, right? I mean, we used to not use that as the example, but in 2020, that's now what we get to talk about is like, are you prepared if a pandemic hits you? That was not on the list, but now it is. So that's what will happen. And it's sad when we see that happen. And I strongly urge people to realize what stage they're in and slow down to put themselves in that right position. So if they do achieve the influencer, trust me, it's an amazing experience to be a part of, but you have to put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in before that and set it up right to get to that end goal.
Yeah. It's what I hear going through this. It's like, be careful what you wish for. And you did such a great job explaining the five stages. Cause is that really what you want? You know, and be
true.
And think through that. And I think that's what we're going to, correct me if I'm wrong, that's what we're going to go down on this journey of taking a deeper dive into each one of these stages and talking through people that may have broke through the ceiling or talking through those. Am I understanding that right, Jamie?
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to bring entrepreneurs onto the podcast and talk to them specifically that they're going to be in a certain stage and talk about how they got into the stage, their trials and tribulations. So what's really exciting is how we're going to roll in and bring some real life stories, and they're all in the construction industry.
Awesome. So Jamie, are you ready for more clients? Because the Art of Construction tribe is pretty powerful and they're ready to learn.
Let's do this, Devin. I am open for new clients. We also have an amazing team in the US and in Canada. So we are offering 2 free advising hours, and we'll have a link available in the show notes. It's going to be cultivateadvisors.com/AOC.
Awesome. Well, Casey, it was so great to hear the 5 steps. We asked this on every one of our fireside chats, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Trust me, I didn't ask him this, to say, of all of you growing a franchise, actually building out all these 5 stages and getting to a place where you're not working in the business, working on the business, what's the one thing that first comes to mind for contractors and affiliates, this podcast is for them to grow their business. What's that one thing you would tell them to leave them with as we go into this journey of taking a deep dive into these 5 stages you've built?
I only get to pick one.
One thing.
One thing. What would be my one piece of advice? I have to keep it really simple and say this. At the end of the day, business owners who successfully grow their business, it comes down to how much time are you spending working on the business versus working in the business. When I get lost, when I lose my priorities, when I get frustrated, when I think of giving up, all those emotions every entrepreneur feels in the ups and downs, I know it's time for me to get in my calendar, clear a bunch of time, and go work on the business, build it, keep growing it, versus just only taking care of all the customers. I know from being in the trades, I want to just please the customer. That's the type of industry it is. However, you have to please yourself first, and that will set you up to support those customers at a much deeper level. So work on the business versus in the business as much as you can, and you will see massive growth and traction.
Absolute gold. So what's your advice going into these upcoming podcasts that the Art of Construction Tribe should look forward to?
I would think of a few things. One, you know, if you don't know what five stages are, again, cultivateadvisors.com/AOC. We actually have a quiz on there that you can take to find out what stage you're in. It's a simple quiz. I would do that first before you go through these five that you're going to hear from these different entrepreneurs. But figure out what stage you're in, and then think about what stage do you want to get to and why. Like you said, Devin, earlier, this isn't like you have to get to the influencer. It's actually just the process of understanding where am I at, where do I want to go, and why. And so if you can identify that, then when you get on these different podcasts, you're going to be able to hear the real stories of what people went through and pick up those pain points and figure out how to turn those into your tools in your tool belt. They're going to help you, you know, navigate when that happens in your business. And ultimately, if you can walk out with two or three of those per podcast episode, you're going to find yourself leaving with some really tangible pieces of information that'll help you complete the growth to whatever stage you're aiming for.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much. We know you're a busy guy and setting up to take some time to join the Art of Construction Tribe. Are we going to be able to have you back on the final sixth episode and maybe have you come back in and give us a couple more stories like you did at the beginning here?
Rumor has it we may have some opportunities for that. So I'll let Jamie decide. Jamie, thanks for inviting me on and let me share what I'm passionate about and obviously what all Cultivate Advisors are passionate about in terms of helping owners navigate their stages. It's a blast, and it's fun to relive my hot chocolate story always. So thanks for letting me share that as well.
Awesome. Well, Jamie, tee us up before we let everybody go here. What are these upcoming episodes going to be all about? Let us know.
Well, we are going to start with the first stage, which is our hustler and experimenter. Then we're going to roll right into someone with a visionary, a systemizer, and an influencer. I don't want to say too much. Let's just say there's a lot to look forward to.
All right.
Takeaways. I'm just going to leave that out there for you.
Outstanding. Well, I'm so pumped for this. I can't wait. Subscribe and stay in touch. See the show notes all over social media. Be part of the movement here. We're so honored to have Cultivate be joining us and be our partner here on growing the industry together. And make sure that you go look at the show notes because you got nothing to lose. You get 2 free hours of advising is what they're offering. So we'll get all that information in the show notes. And thanks so much, Casey, for coming in and telling us your story. And we're going to push to have you back in another episode. And Jamie, we're going to have so much fun on this ride, huh?
Awesome. I look forward to it. Thank you, Devin.
All right. Cheers, everyone.